Welcome everybody to the Heart of Christ Church out there in the internet. I want to welcome the Lurches. I invited them. I want to welcome the Bodas and the Tillies and anybody else who's watching. We welcome you here this morning because we're going to be preaching a sermon called The Truth Be Damned and Other Lies in Our Culture. Do you think there's lies out there in our culture? I mean, if you just watch the news organizations, and just pick any one, okay? I'm not going to say any of them are fully truthful, because they're not. They always have their little bent, and you can just see the craziness going on in the world and in our culture. It is just nuts. Our first scripture reading we got from Isaiah. We're in chapter 59, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 15. So we're back in Isaiah in the Old Testament. I want to give everybody a chance to get there. And as we're turning to that, it's Isaiah chapter 59, verses 13 and 15. And this is Isaiah speaking to the nation of Israel. Okay, way back in the Old Testament there. And he says, transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from their heart lying words, justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Allow those words to settle in you this morning, here at our church and out on the internet. Isn't that what is happening out in our culture today? Transgressing and lying, denying the Lord, turning away. And justice is being turned back. Do you see it? All you got to do is look at newsreels and news feeds. There's people out there burning and looting and murdering. For what reason? Because they see injustice. Rather than act justly and exercise the right that we have in America through our Constitution to be able to protest. Protesting is walking down the street, maybe with a bullhorn saying, I have a grievance, but protesting is not burning and looting, beating people up, setting businesses on fire, busting windows, and destroying things. That is not protesting. That is called rioting. And it needs to stop. Amen. It needs to stop. Seems like people have gone crazy. They have lost their minds. Our next scripture is in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 18. We're going to go to the Gospel of John. In the 37th verse. So we're in chapter 18, the 37th verse. And this is Jesus and Pilate speaking. They're having a conversation. This is during the trial of our Lord and Savior. Therefore, Pilate said to him, our Lord and Savior Jesus, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. We're going to discuss truth today. Some of the places that I'd like to go to is going to be education and science, marriage and family, compassion. I want you to remember a phrase, okay? And it kind of spells out what's going on in our culture today. Because we have the sons of light, the sons and daughters of light, and we also have the sons and daughters of darkness. And we can pretty much tell who is light and who is darkness. Because the sons of light and the daughters of light are listening to the Lord, while the sons of darkness and the daughters of darkness are listening to their father, Satan. That's exactly what's going on. Our Father in heaven is starting to divide people out, the wheat from the tares, so to speak. He's starting to put people in camps. People are trying to, they're choosing where they want to be. I want you to remember this phrase because it helps to give you an idea of what's going on in our culture. The ends justify the means. Kind of remember that. The ends justify the means. I'm not going to pick on any political party because I'm not to preach politics here. So I'm going to just say the progressives claim to be the only ones who care about the have-nots, the poor, the weak, and the helpless. I would like to look at that and see if that actually is what's happening. Is that what's going on? I want you to think about human rights, okay? Where does human rights come from? Human rights. Do we have any rights? Our Constitution says we have rights. The concept of universal human rights and equality comes exclusively from the Bible idea that all people are created in the image of God. When you have that idea in your head, that we were created by a God for a purpose, that's where human rights come from. I want you to think about this. Does the left, the politically left, do they care about human rights? Now, they say they do, right? They're always telling you, oh, we care about human rights. We care about this. We care about that. We care about people that are being abused in our society, okay? But then they turn around and say, we care so much about women that we give you the choice, the right to have an abortion. And my question is, what about the children in the womb? Don't they have rights? Well, what they do is they turn that around a little bit. They say, well, that's just a tissue mass. It's almost like a tumor, okay? It's not a human being until they're born. But now, like in, I think, the state of Virginia, might be West Virginia, it's probably Virginia, depending on what the mother wants and what the doctor thinks in that consultation, they can abort that child after he's born. Do we really care about human rights when that is going on? I know us as Christians, we say, no, that's murder. It is murder. That child was conceived. There's scriptural reference to God knitting together that human being in the mother's womb. God knows that that is there. And from God, we get the concept of human rights. Because of God. Christians brought that into the world. Human rights. And no other place on this planet has it been more enshrined in our documents than right here in the United States. Christians brought that here. Christians brought that concept that each human life has worth. I want you to think about that. All you got to do is listen to what these people are saying, who are against us as Christians. They really are. They hate us. I know they do. But how about the compassion and mercy? What about the concept of compassion and mercy? I want you to think about the rise of charity in the name of Jesus over the centuries. Since Jesus Christ has walked this earth, I want you to think about compassion and mercy. Our Lord Jesus taught to the people that were in his entourage compassion and mercy. Many, many times Jesus said, I'm going to have compassion, I'm going to have mercy. And he is the Son of God, God. Compassion and mercy. The ancient world has left little trace of any organized charitable effort. If you go back through history and you look at the Greeks or the Romans, okay, the Persians, you look around and you read some of the stuff that they left behind, there's very little evidence of compassion and mercy. I want you to think of this. Early Christians in the city of Rome, if a Roman citizen, a family, a mother, father, had a daughter and didn't want that daughter, she would just be cast out the side of the road and left for the dogs to devour. But early Christians walked those roads, okay? And with the love of Christ inside them, they had compassion and they would hunt for those children. And they would take them in and raise them. That's a form of abortion. I can't understand how a mother could give birth to a child and then cast it away for the dogs to eat. But early Christians went around on the roads and the byways and found those children and raised them. I want you to think about that. Compassion and mercy. Early Christians in this country would spend money to buy slaves just to set them free. And the progressive left says we're narrow-minded, we're hateful, we're bigoted, we've got all these problems. Well, I say to them, and I'm standing here on the internet, you took from us what God gave to us and we gave the world. And now you appropriate it for yourself and say, we're the bigots. You're thieves, is what you are. Marriage and family. Marriage and family. You know, we've had marriage and family around for so long, I think we kind of take it for granted. Have you ever thought about that? Marriage and family. Before the Christian era, after the church was founded and brought into being on Pentecost, sodomy and homosexuality were not considered wrong. Christianity exalted heterosexual, mononymous love, which would provide the basis for a lasting and exclusive relationship between a husband and a wife, orientated towards rearing children. It remains such a powerful idea in our society, even when actual family life falls short, that we forget the central premises on which it is based. Those premises were introduced by Christianity into a society to which they were completely foreign. If you look at the old societies, people got married. Okay, especially like in Rome. And if you were wealthy enough, you had enough money, you could have more than one wife. And wives were considered property. You ladies didn't have any rights. You were a wife of a man, and he had standing in the community, and you served him. Let's think about what Christianity has brought. Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he talked to women. It was against the social norms. But he talked to them. He raised them up. And he said, you have worth in my kingdom. So the feminists who are always talking about women's rights and carrying on so much and us men are such ogres, which we are sometimes, please believe me and understand that. Some men are real nitwits. They do some really dumb stuff. Sometimes they hurt women. But women were lifted up. And marriage was put on such a pedestal that this is the foundation of our nation. Marriage between one man, one woman, who love their children and raise them up in a Christian household, giving them the truth. Mostly I'm kind of preaching to the people out on the internet. All you hear in the congregation know that, and you believe it, and you understand it. But there's people out there that don't understand it. Sometimes because they don't want to understand it. They choose ignorance over truth. Marriage between a man and a woman who love each other. Let us move on to education. From the beginning of Judaism, from which Christianity is derived, there was an emphasis on the written word. But the phenomena of education for the masses has its roots in the Protestant Reform. I want you to think about that. Before the Protestant Reformation, and before the Gutenberg press was invented so that they could print Bibles, all right, most people were uneducated. You had your clergy, say in the Roman Catholic Church, the priests and stuff. You had your nobility. They got an education. But Martin Luther came up with this extraordinary thought that changed the world. He said, I want every man and woman and child to be able to read the scripture for themselves, to be able to open God's word right here and be able to read it for themselves. That's where education came from. That came from Christianity. We Christians understand that an educated country is a more free country. In order to promote Bible literacy, Christians have been leaders in education. This trend was accelerated with the advent of the printing press, as I said, at about the same time as the Protestant Reformation. Many of the world's languages were first set to writing by Christian missionaries in order for people to read the Bible. The missionaries went out. They found an indigenous tribe. They learned their language, and then they took the painstaking effort to take the Bible, which was in English, and translate it into their language so that they could read it. Education came from Christians. You look at the early colleges that we have right now, Yale, just to mention a few, Yale. You look at their original documents. Their documents state, and I'm paraphrasing, that a person should be educated also in the scriptures. Where can you find scriptures in the public sphere today? I want you to think about that. Just the simple ones, the Ten Commandments. You have that on a piece of stone in front of a courthouse, say here in Lebanon, you got people fighting. We need to get rid of that. We can't have that. We have separation of church and state. Really? A small stone sitting in front of the courthouse saying, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. I can see why that would be offensive to the far left. Because we know they do it all the time. And I'm not calling them names. I'm just calling what I see. They're always lying. Seems like both sides, the political elite in this country, they lie all the time. They tell us lies all the time. And believe me, they think that you're stupid enough to swallow each and every one of them. I see heads shaking. They are so deluded in their quest for power that they think each and every one of us are imbeciles, that we can't see through what they're doing. We can. especially the Christians, because we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Open them up, and then open your mouth and say, ah, wrong chicken. Nope, you're lying to me. Call them out on it. Don't be quiet. If you see someone lying to you, a politician, somebody running for office, say, you're lying. And don't get upset. Because when you call them a liar, they're going to get upset. They'll start talking and the spittle will start flying out of their mouths and they'll be agitating and everything. Because you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. The Spirit of truth. Call them out on it. All you people out on the internet, call them out on it. In America, the first law to require education of the masses was passed by the Puritans. Now, I want you to hear the name of this law. This is pretty cool. The law was called the Old Deluder Satan Act. The Old Deluder Satan Act. This name was a reference to the devil who Christians believed gets his foothold into people's lives because of their ignorance of Scripture, the truth. He has a very easy time just pushing anybody around that he wants, guiding them wherever he wants them to go, because they have said there is no God. That Bible is just an old dusty book, like any other dusty book, and they go about their way doing whatever they want to do. And Satan goes, oh, I'm going to have fun with this character. The Old Deluder Satan Act. Our early fathers of this country, the early people that came here, what did they do? They taught Scripture to their children. They taught it in school. Because it was the truth. Modern man doesn't want to hear that. The way progressive liberal on that side, the atheist says, there is no God. Only a fool in his heart says there is no God. There's ample evidence all over this world and universe to attest to the greatness of God. They just close their eyes to it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to have to deal with it. And so now they've taken over education. Our colleges are a mess. Yale is a mess. All right? We Christians brought education to this country. And they've taken it over. They've slowly infiltrated it, and they've turned it into a mess. Now people aren't educated. They're indoctrinated. That's what's going on. They're indoctrinated. They're not taught how to think rationally. They're taught what to think. And if you disagree with them, what do? They start yelling and screaming. They get upset. They have a mental meltdown. Some of them start crying. Some of them start throwing bricks, frozen water bottles. I mean, think of what's going on in our culture because we allowed it. Christians brought education to this country. Government of the people. We're going to go to government next. I want you to think about this. Government. Government. Of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's what we're supposed to have. But if you listen to the socialists over here on this left side, you're too stupid to have anything to do with government. We need experts in there. We need people that came from Yale. They're so intelligent. You hicks, you farming hicks, and you blue-collar workers, you have no idea the things that we have to know. We're enlightened. Please, can I say it right now? You're not enlightened. You're not. I went to college too. I'm semi-enlightened in myself, but I'm totally enlightened with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have closed that off and walked away from it. much to your demise. Let's look at what's going on. What did the Christians bring to our government? When this government first started, and the socialists, they always destroy history. That's why they're not teaching history in school anymore. American history, they don't teach it. And if they do teach it, they say America was bad, it's racist, they had slaves, these people were horrible, we need to destroy America. They don't say anything good. Nothing good. So let's look at some of the stuff that we have brought to this government. Excuse me. America's first constitution was the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut. The Puritan framers of this document required that each aspect of it be grounded in Scripture. They went to the book. And they built their constitution from God's truth. Other constitutions too followed and contained many similarities to this one. Okay, they went to Scripture. At least 50 of the 55 signers of the U.S. Constitution were Orthodox Christians. Okay? Now, the socialists are going to tell you that there were no Christians in the original fathers of our nation. They were racist, they were slaveholders, they were horrible people, right? They say, nope, that wasn't there. Well, while you still can, and I'm going to mention this before I forget it, all those historical documents are still around. Don't just hear what I'm saying, okay? Go out there and find it for yourself. Not just you people here in the congregation, but you people out on the internet. Look for the documents. Find out what our history is. Because once the socialists erased it, what do you have to learn from? And that's what they want. They want to erase our history. And our history is both good and bad. We're sinners saved by grace. I want you to look at the history of each one of your lives. Where did you come from? Some of us are 62. Some of us are 12. All right? But look back through your life, your history. Was it perfect? Did you have a perfect history? You never made any mistakes. All right? Never had any poor decisions. That's the same way with the country. This country was founded by men and women who were sinners saved by grace. We all make mistakes, but let's learn from them. There's no doubt that the concept of constitutional checks and balance system is a direct result of the biblical doctrine of sinfulness of mankind. All of our founders understood the importance of the doctrine of social order. They understood. They came. They broke away from the King of England, where the king said, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. And the people said, well, we don't think that's fair. Off with their heads. That's what was going on. So they put three branches of government in place, all equal. Okay, legislative, judicial, and the executive, they said they're all equal and they're supposed to watch each other because that judge over there is a sinner. And the judge over there says that president over there is a sinner. They understood who they were. Socialists think they're perfect, that they can't do any wrong. Assuming someone says to you, you know, I'm really perfect, I've never had a problem in my life, start sneaking away. Start moving away from that character because, oh boy, there's a problem there. I want you to think about that. We brought this form of government into existence because we understood who God is and we understood what His Word said. And now they're trying to destroy it. Trying to destroy it. They seem to be doing a pretty good job. What do you think? I mean, they are just way down the road. America's foundational idea of the rule of law rather than the authority of man traces back to the Old Testament, beginning with the Ten Commandments. The reason we have a society such as that we have is we believe in the rule of law. Okay, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not murder. But it seems like the rule of law is kind of going out the window right now if you're in certain cities in America. They get to do whatever they want. And I am sick of it. And I'm going to say it publicly on the internet. I am tired of it. If you are rioting and you're hurting other people and you're looting and stealing and burning, you need to be arrested and you need to be tried for the crimes that you have committed. If you're walking down the street peaceably with a bullhorn saying, I have a problem, I'm okay with that. We're allowed to protest. We have that right. But you do not have the right to destroy other people's property, whether public or private. You don't have that right. And every one of you governors and mayors that are allowing this to happen, you need to be held accountable and arrested for what you are allowing to happen in your state and city. And if you want to come and talk to me about it, I live on Richard Jive in Lebanon, PA. Let's sit down and we'll have a cup of tea and we'll discuss it. And I'll help educate you on what is right and wrong. Amen? Amen. It's out there. The existence of moral absolutes, a biblical concept, is an important idea in our Declaration of Independence, specifically self-evident truths and unalienable rights from the Creator. Moral absolutes. You cannot have a country of free people unless you have moral absolutes. When you go to college these days, there's going to be some philosophy professor saying, there's really no right and wrong. So that means if I come up and punch you in your mouth, I didn't do anything wrong. Right? There are moral absolutes. If you don't have morals in your society, the society is going to collapse. And what they're trying to do is, the socialists are trying to institute a socialist government where the government grows very large and controls everything in your life. Look back through history. Look at Nazi Germany. Look at Russia. Look at some of the modern countries. China. They control everything that goes on in their lives. You don't have to worry about morals. Because now the government controls everything. They tell you what you can eat, where you can live, what you can drive, who you can marry, how many children you can have. And you could just go about your life as a robot. Until they decide that, you know what, I don't really like the way Dave Webster preaches. We need to put him in a gulag. We need to put him away somewhere. Because he's really messing up our thing. Our little party that we're having here. And once you get a socialist government in place, and never just say socialism, it becomes communism. Because the people at the top of the governmental level, somebody always says, hey, this is a really good deal. I'm going to take over and become a dictator. All we got to do, look at Venezuela. I say to all the socialists out there, the American socialists, if you don't like it here, go to Venezuela. They have great socialism there. Everything that you want to bring here. Just go over there and test it out for a while, right? I'm looking at my time. I'm getting close. Science, I'm going to hit science very briefly, okay? We brought science into existence. Now, scientists say that there is no God, which just is laughable, okay? The reason we have scientific investigation is because people like Kepler, Boyle, Pascal, Pasteur, and Newton said, there was a God. This world makes sense. There must be laws that we can discover. And Christians, they were all Christians. And they started looking at what God created and started finding those laws and writing them down saying, well, this is how it works. If you do this, this will happen. That's a scientific investigation. Christians brought that. And now the socialists on this side are going, oh, no, we own science. No, you don't. You didn't bring it. Christians did. Let's examine one more lie. And then I'm going to land this plane. Because I've given you a lot of information. All right, here's the lie. And I just heard this just a couple of weeks ago. You ready? All white people are racist from birth and can't help it. It's genetically in their makeup. That is a lie. People are saying that, especially white Christians. We're the problem. Where have we heard such a bold-faced lie before? Think about this. Where have you heard that lie before? Let's go back to around 1933. Okay, we're going back to around 1933. I remember, and I wasn't around then, I was only born in 1958, but I remember reading about it. I remember the National Socialist Party in 1933 Germany said the same thing about the Jews. Correct. And they said it often enough until the German people believed it, and we all know what happened. Hitler exterminated 6 million men, women, and children in internment camps because he said they were Germany's societal problem. The socialists on this side, Antifa, the burn, loot, and murder people, and some of the handlers that are controlling them, they're saying the same thing about the Christians now, white Christians. We're the problem. I see history starting to repeat itself. Do not be like the German Christians and allow this to happen. Stand up and say, no, you're wrong, it's a lie. Don't let them drag you into an internment camp. I leave you with this final thought. If we will not learn from history, we are destined to repeat it. Not just the history in this book, but the history in the last 200 years of this world, not only this country, but other countries. If we don't learn from that history, we are destined to repeat it. And I say to you, amen. And amen. Father in heaven, as we come before you now at the prayer at the end of the sermon, we ask that you not only help us to understand in this congregation, but I pray that this sermon that went out into the internet, that there would be people out there who do not necessarily agree with me, but at least have enough wherewithal in their mind to say, I'm going to look this up. I'm going to find this out. I dare them to call me a liar. Prove me a liar. I dare them. And I dare them to prove each one of you a liar. So, Father, I ask that each of us here in this congregation will be more of your servant today than we've ever been. That we would open our eyes, open our ears, and then with love, open our mouths. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.